Of good news for all of us today, many of you are aware that Greg and Antia Dahl have been waiting for their baby. Well, he came, but he came 11 days late. He was enjoying so much where he was, right? And, you know, we had that happen more than once. I have four children, and those last days are long, you know. You go out for a walk hoping you can, you know, kind of get the baby to decide to do something. And but anyway, we're so happy. I don't know, for you people who like this kind of stuff, the baby weighed 4 kilos, 74 grams, 53 centimeters long. Whatever. Ganz klein. Yeah. But we're really happy with them, and the name is Joshua Levi, I guess, or Levi, whatever. Okay, but we're really grateful for Josh's birth, and we rejoice with the Dahl family. You can see the title today, Thinking About Your Thinking. Sometimes you don't think about our thinking, right? We say a lot of funny things. I'm just going to put this up a bit higher. Okay, here we go. Great. 2 weeks ago, more than that, the first Sunday of this year was the first day of the year, and James preached on that day, and he mentioned that he talked about New Year's resolutions, right? I asked someone, how are your resolutions doing? The person said, my resolutions are doing great, but I'm not. Now, James mentioned that the percentage of people, according to certain statistics, that actually complete their resolutions by the end of the year, when they get to the end of the year and say, I have fulfilled my resolutions, is what? 9%. Of course, they're not talking about IBC, right? Here it's different. And he also mentioned that by the beginning of February, 80% of folks have already given up on their resolutions, their New Year's resolutions. So you have two more weeks, folks. Be encouraged. And he also mentioned that one of the reasons why people fail to carry through is our unrealistic expectations. Today I want to look at another reason why the best of intentions don't always succeed. And it's an area that we need to understand, not just to complete our resolutions, but to be able to walk in joy and victory throughout 2023 with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm referring to our tendency to harbor or to hold on to self-defeating thoughts. Okay, that's the key word today, key phrase today. Self-defeating thoughts. By this I mean, you know, thoughts that focus on our weaknesses, on our failures, and on our limitations. We're really good at that. Deep down inside, we're taken up with fears and we're conscious of our inadequacies. And folks, if that's your focus, then you're probably not going to get very far with the best of intentions. In fact, these kinds of things tend to immobilize us, to paralyze us. And that's why Scripture tells us, for example, I'm thinking of a verse in Colossians 3 that says, set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. These kinds of thoughts, these kinds of negative, self-defeating thoughts are things of the earth, okay? And God doesn't want us to live there because that is defeating. You'll never live for Christ in victory if you're filled with these kinds of thoughts. And so in order to help us move ahead this year and experience God's best, I want us to look more closely at the area of our thoughts. We want to understand how our thoughts impact our lives, but we also want to see how or what we can do in order to find a solution for self-defeating thoughts. And I'm sure when I say self-defeating thoughts, we all understand what that means, right? All right. I'm going to give you three ideas today that could be of help in this regard and make this new year very different for you. All right? First of all, our thoughts shape our lives. Now, you know this, but I want to drive this home because this is really important. We know this verse, perhaps, in Proverbs 4:23. It says, above everything, in other words, more than anything else, the most important thing of all, it says, guard your heart. And heart here means mind or thoughts, okay? The deepest part of your being. for from it flow the springs of life. What it's saying is that what goes on in your mind is what basically runs your life. So if the wrong things are going around in your mind continually, your life cannot be lived correctly, or as would please the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know, we all talk to ourselves, right? We're always talking to ourselves. Now, nowadays, you don't know. Well, some people do it out loud, but in fact, nowadays, you don't know. You know, years ago, when somebody's down there, you're walking around the room and talking away, and you think, ooh, you guys got a problem, right? But nowadays, people are just talking away, and actually, they have a little phone here, so you hope it means they're talking to somebody. Hmm? But we all talk to ourselves continually. We have inbuilt belief systems and biases, and there's kind of an internal monologue. Often, we have different mental images and concepts that just come and say a lot without having to say much to ourselves. But we go on, what we could call our self-talk, okay? Self-talk. We're always talking to ourselves, telling us different things. And if we examine our self-talk, at least it's my experience, that it's often not particularly uplifting. It's not really very edifying. We seem to have a propensity to continually put ourselves down, to remind ourselves of what we've done wrong and where we have our deficiencies. You know, I'm too weak, I'm too skinny, I'm too fat, I'm too this, I'm too shy, I don't measure up, I'm not very nice looking. All these things continually bubble up in our minds, and they wind up determining how we see life and how we act. That's a very important point. And so as we keep talking and thinking, then we develop mental patterns that dominate our lives. Yes, indeed, our thoughts shape our lives. Now, this is why we read in Proverbs 23:7, it says, "For as he, a person, thinks within himself, so is he." If I could look in your life and see what occupies your thoughts, I could tell you who you are. Oh, aren't you glad I can't do that? In other words, you are what you think. You are what you think. As a counselor, when I am with people, of course, I try to understand what they're really thinking, what is really going on inside of their hearts, because that determines how they live. You are what you think. And this winds up shaping your life. We want to be like Jesus Christ, and so we need the right kind of self-talk, biblical self-talk, to help us to move in that direction. I was talking to a young man several years ago in another country where I worked. He was a brilliant young man, really. And he began to study at the university, and I was sure this guy's going to be a top finisher, you know, one of those people that graduates magna cum laude or Lord, how come, whatever, up there, you know. And but you know something? He began to have problems. He couldn't really, he just really struggled to prepare for his exams and to do his exams well. And I knew it wasn't because of his intelligence, but then talking to him, I realized that in his home, he had a very difficult family, a father who was anything but supportive. He always heard comments like, "Oh, you're not going to do anything in life." Or the family itself had this idea that we're just a poor, good-for-nothing family. And so this guy who had accepted Christ with me had all of these thoughts in his mind, and instead of focusing upon what Christ tells him is true about his new person, he was always filled with these kinds of thoughts. And eventually he gave up his studies and works in some small business today. His self-defeating thoughts actually were shaping his life. Folks, how much rubbish do we allow to shape our lives? I can't. How could I? Not me. Another point I want to meditate on today is that our thoughts affect our emotions, and this is very important. Because you see, self-talk has an impact on how you feel. And then, of course, what you do as well. Biblically, what you think largely determines your emotions, how you feel. You know, when you've been sick, they think of you when you were sick, because then you're especially vulnerable to kind of negative thoughts, right? Have you ever had this problem where you're sick and then you begin to think, well, oh, I everything's so black, everything's so dark, everything's so hopeless, I don't see any out, and so forth. You begin thinking negative thoughts. And this shows you how powerful thoughts can be, right? There's a downward spiral. And the more you think about it, the stronger your negative emotions become. And the problem is that when your emotions are negative, it's really hard to change your thoughts. It's kind of a vicious circle, isn't it? Ever notice if you're feeling kind of down, how hard it is to think positively? Have you had that happen to you? No. Oh, I have. Of course, right? We all know what that's like. And so, again, we're getting back to the matter of thinking, because thinking does affect your emotions. If you're thinking non-biblically, then you are going down the tubes, as they say. Again, that verse, as a man thinks in his heart or within himself, so is he. I want to bring a key biblical principle here this afternoon, and just listen to how it is. It says, in every situation, our responses are based on how we choose to interpret that event. Something happens, right? How you respond depends on what you think about that event, what you're allowing, you know, to go through your mind regarding what that event is all about. And that choice creates your emotions. Look at this verse in James. It says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Okay, you're going through trials, right? That's the situation. Now, you're going through trials, that's no fun. Does anybody like trials here? Not a single hand. Wow, okay. Okay, we don't like trials, right? I love comfort, folks. I have to admit it, okay? Your pastor loves comfort. Yes. Bring me the pillows, okay? but it says, okay, when you're meeting trials, count it all joy, because your thoughts are understanding that having the right reaction and thinking of the right things, you are going to have the right results. This is really important. When you face things, how do you interpret those things? Because that will affect your emotions. Now, I want to look at an example today which really makes very clear the interplay of thoughts and emotions. And this is in the book of Lamentations. Now, Lamentations is not a book that we read very often. In fact, I wonder if anybody's read it this year. Anybody read Lamentations this year? Lament what? Hey, the spiritual people. They lift their hand. Oh, wow. There are new deacons. No. Okay, the Lamentations isn't really read very often. The word Lamentations means to lament, say, right? Lament is to groan and moan and bemoan your situation. Oh, okay. And the context of Lamentations is interesting. Jerusalem and Judah had been conquered by the Babylonians. And it was horrible. Maybe like today and what's happening in Ukraine, you know, they just level cities and it was kind of that way. The Babylonians had no mercy and it was a horrible thing, horrible situation. And the prophet Jeremiah went through that all. He experienced it. And it just got him so down to realize what had happened to his people. He identified with his people. And so let's see how he describes this situation of the conquest in his own words, okay? This is going to be, I think, very instructive. Okay, let's go. First of all, here we're going to see that he is really depressed. In fact, you would almost take him to the hospital today, right? I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. That's kind of like depression, right? You feel in a dark room, no light, hopeless. Surely against me he turns his hand again and again the whole day long. So Jeremiah is really suffering. And God, he thinks that God is treating him badly. Look at this next passage. He has made my flesh and my skin waste away. He has broken my bones. It's God working against me. That's what he feels. He has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. He has made me dwell in darkness like the dead of long ago. So he thinks God is against him. And then again, he gets back to this feeling of total despair in the next couple of verses. He has walled me about so that I cannot escape. He's caught in his difficulty. He can't get away. He has made my chains heavy. Though I call and cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. Where is God when I need him? He has blocked my way with blocks of stones. He has made my path crooked. Wow. He really is in a bad way. Let's go to the next one. We'll see that Jeremiah wants to grovel. You know, grovel means kind of just to live in his misery, okay? So he gives himself permission to wallow in these all these negative thoughts he's just been having. He says, we're going to verse 18, yeah. He drove into my kidneys, the arrows of his quiver. I have become the laughingstock of all peoples, the object of their taunts all day long. He has filled me with bitterness. He has sated me with wormwood. Let's go to the next one now. He has made my teeth grind on gravel and made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. I mean, do you see any positive things in here? No. Kind of negative thinking, right? Okay, now let's go to 18. My endurance has persisted, so my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction, my wanderings, the wormwood of the gall. Now notice this. Here's a key phrase. My soul continually remembers it. What's it? All the stuff he's talking about, okay? All the problems is my soul continually meditates on that. And is bowed down within me, okay? That's like a lot of you. And I've been there. I know what that's like. We all the day long think about the bad, right? Oh, how are you doing? Wow. Talk about the lions today, right? Rawr. That's what we're like. So it's hopeless. He sees everything hopeless and horrible. His mind is full of this stuff. His thoughts, his self-talk is negative. Is there any hope? Not if he keeps on going this way, there isn't. All right. Fortunately, Jeremiah begins to change. And it's a very dramatic change. Let's go to the next verse. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Ah, here comes the ray of hope. Amen. Amen. We all have hope, right? Even Richard. Amen. All right, let's go to the next. Notice this change. Okay, again, it's here. Here's what he says then, okay? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Hallelujah! Ah! Was ist das? I mean, what a change, right? Now, can you see how his thoughts, he kept thinking about the bad stuff, you know? He was probably sucking on lemons or something, right? And he's going down, down, down. And then maybe he realizes, this is ridiculous. I'm God's prophet. And then somehow something makes a click in his mind, and he starts putting his mind on the right. And what a difference. In fact, would you read that second verse, or the 22 and 23 with me? Or 22 and 24, okay? Here we go. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Hallelujah. At one point, he's saying, my endurance has perished, right? Verse 18. So has my hope from the Lord. He thinks about his misery, his hopelessness. And then in verse 24, what a change, right? The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. He thinks about his faithfulness. He regains his perspective. He regains the control of his thoughts, we could put it that way. Again, what we said before, in every situation, our responses are based on how we choose to interpret that event, and that choice creates our emotions. We have a choice how we're going to interpret an event. You know, 25 years ago, my wife and I had the biggest shock of our lives. We've had a lot of shocks. But this was a big shock. My wife gave birth to a boy, and he is a severely handicapped child. Well, mentally he's a child, but he's a boy of 25 now. And the fact was, we have a really problem child. Physically, mentally, everything, okay? And of course, that was the information. What do we do with that information, you know? You know, Jeremiah 2, right? And that was a choice. Because, folks, I'll tell you something. We didn't know this world of handicapped children, since that, of course, we've become very familiar with this world. It's a big world. And many parents, once they have a handicapped child, their life changes for the bad. They become negative. Always negative thoughts. And it's tough. It's tough. It's tough. Very tough. You have no idea how tough that is. But it still was a choice of ours to say, how are we going to react to this? Now, did I like it then? Do I like it today that I have a son with whom I cannot communicate? A son who has tremendous problems? Do I like that? Of course I don't. In fact, if I allow myself, I can cry easily about him. Okay? But you know something? I have peace. We decided that our minds, our thoughts are going to be faithful to God. God, you know what you're doing. We don't understand. And then people told us, oh, how come you're a pastor, you're a missionary. Ho, ho, ho. I would show my wings. You want to see my wings? See my wings? Come on, you know. Yeah, really. People say, ¿por qué usted, don Daniel? When I was living in a Latin American country. And the point is that it's all about your mind, your thinking, your thoughts. Are you faithful to God? You're faithful in your thoughts to God, thought by thought. And so as followers of Christ, our emotions and behavior do not have to depend on what is happening in our environment. We can cultivate proper self-talk that enables us to walk by faith and to live above the problem. But let's look more specifically how we can accomplish that, okay? Our last point today. Our thoughts can be controlled. Praise the Lord for that, right? Our thoughts can be. Now, when you're down in the dumps, you think they cannot be controlled. As you know, I'm a counselor. I talk all the time to people who say, I can't. Well, you feel like you can't, I understand. And the more you feel like you can't, the less you can, right? It's like a. But you can. But you can, biblically speaking. So many, many passages in Scripture call God's children to lead a disciplined life. In fact, that's a normal Christian life, a disciplined life. And that implies, above all, our thoughts, our thought life. In fact, we're warned against leading a life without discipline. Look at this verse here. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. No discipline, you have no protection against wrong thoughts, against temptations, against all of these wrong things, right? And what I want to emphasize here is that self-discipline is anchored in our thought life. Remember when I was a young man, when I was at home, teenager, my dad always talked about posture. You know what posture is? Standing up straight, right? He was a fanatic of posture. He always walked around like this, you know? And I was walking around like this, you know? Then, neither, right? Okay. And he was always, hey, get up! So, he was always talking about it. So every new year, what would I do? My proposal, my resolution was, I'm going to stand up straight. And I did. For how long? 2 weeks, thank you. 2 hours. Oh, my goodness, right? Well, my thoughts were not at all. I just kind of was trying to do it, but my thoughts were like, oh, this is horrible. So what went out? This is horrible, run out, right? Didn't work. Now, look at this verse here. We're talking about controlling our thoughts. And take every thought captive to obedience to Christ, or to obey Christ. That's incredible. Is that possible? No, it's just nice words in the Bible. Well, of course it's possible. If God tells us you can take every thought captive to Christ, it's possible. I can have victory over pornography because I can take every thought captive Some of you don't believe that. You're so far gone in your sin that you don't believe it. But dear people, if you are born again, you can have control. You can take every thought captive to Christ. What hope that gives us, right? Tremendous hope. And this is what God expects. He's given us the resources to live in victory, and that's the way we can live. He wants us to be thinking correctly, not to be thinking, oh, it's just so hard. Pastor Dan, he can live victoriously. He's a pastor. Yes, when you get the degree, theological degree, all your sins disappear, right? Come on. Not at all. Look at this verse here. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things, but I discipline my body and keep it under control. Now, Paul's talking here about self-control, compares it to disciplining his body, but what part of his body was the most important part for controlling? What was the real organ to speak of that he had to control? Was it the foot, the muscle? Huh? Mind, of course. You know, when I actually go to the gym, okay, and I run, and sometimes I do fine. And then sometimes it's a drag. I don't know why. My body, does your body do that? Sometimes I say, am I going to make myself do it? Now, but what makes me do it? My leg says, go, go, go. I just the legs just take off, right? I just follow my legs. Is that what happens? No. What makes me keep going when I don't feel like it? It's my mind, okay? And that's Paul is saying he exercises self-control, disciplines his body, his mind, okay? The command center of his life, that is what he is disciplining. And so that's just so important that we understand this, right? And so the particular discipline that we are talking about today is not allowing self-destructive thoughts to nest in our hearts. Temptation for everybody. But to learn what God says and think his thoughts after him, that's what we want, right? So the question is, what are you allowing to fill your mind? If you're failing in things, you can't accomplish something, it's because you're allowing self-destructive thoughts. Jesus says, I can do some things through Christ. You ever heard that verse? On Sundays, right? Oh, thank you. Somebody knows the verse. I can do all, I can always count on Rich. If I need an amen, it's an amen. If it's a verse, it's a verse, right? God bless this young man. Yeah. I can do all things, okay? I can. I can discipline my mind. I can watch my thoughts and please God, I can. I'm not exaggerating. Setting us up for something, a big disappointment, not at all. You know, in counseling, I've at times used what I call a thought log. A log is like you keep track of what's happening, okay? Thought log. And in this log, I have three columns. On the left, I write what happened, okay? Yeah. And then on the right, say there's three, right? On the left, what happened? On the right, how do you feel? Or how did you feel? Okay? And then I try in the middle that they write maybe either what they should have felt or how they should have thought or what God says about the situation, right? What I'm trying to get them people to do is to understand that they are interpreting the situation and that's why they wind up feeling the way they feel. For example, I didn't get a raise. Okay? I am devastated. Well, what's the interpretation? Maybe I'm going to lose my job, okay? Or I'm no good, right? I'm incapable. And so, therefore, you feel terrible. Well, is that really true? Your interpretation. Okay, something happens, you interpret that, and that's why you feel the way you feel. But God has something else. God tells you so many wonderful things, there's so many wonderful promises. Others can encourage you as well, so that you would not fall into false interpretations and negative thoughts. I had a bad grade on my exam. then you feel like an idiot, right? I'm so stupid. I'm so dumb. Well, wait, what happened? Well, I didn't study all week. Oh, that could be something to have to do with it, yeah. Or whatever, right? God wants us to think, okay, why did it happen? Why did what happened happen? Why did it didn't lead to my feelings? She didn't invite me. I'm ugly and unpleasant. Well, you don't know, maybe she didn't invite you because she didn't have your phone number or whatever, right? We didn't, but there's other possibilities. The point is that we often have these thoughts and we jump to conclusions and we allow our feelings to take us off on a run. And what God wants us to do is to be disciplined and be very careful how we handle our thoughts with our handicapped son. God, you gave us this handicapped son. I feel devastated, yes. But does that mean I should say, you reject me, you hate me? No. I have to say, Lord, you are sovereign. I live for you, whatever you want. Hallelujah. If you gave me we prayed for healing. You better believe it. Many people did. God did not heal him. He could have. But if God doesn't heal him, glory be to God. Things are okay. It's not a punishment of God like a lot of people want to think. It's not that, folks. Okay? Be self-controlled. Be careful. Don't allow wrong thoughts, negative, to self-destructive thoughts. So, you know, I have you seen that a lot of people, unfortunately not a lot of people, but some people, even when they go through really difficult times, they're cheerful and they're joyful. Ever had known somebody like that? Probably not your mother-in-law, but, you know, others, you know. Ever known somebody like that? And then there's others that have everything. Everything's great, you know. They're fat and sassy, but everything's bad. Well, what's the difference? Well, it's their self-talk. What are you thinking about? Are you thinking God's thoughts? Are you allowing God's will to be central in your thinking? Are you doing what God says, rejoicing in all things? Are you seeing what's happening through the filter of his divine grace? Because, folks, nothing gets to you, comes to you, without passing through the filter of his divine grace, okay? Nothing, nothing, nothing. And that gives me peace, like with our son. So, God wants us to live in victory. He does. But victory doesn't mean that everything's easy. It means that I have joy in Christ regardless of what happens. I have peace in Christ regardless of what happens. Because in my thinking, I'm very careful to be focusing upon what God says is true. Okay? There's no chance with God. He's in charge. And he means it for good. My boy Johnny is for God's glory. And I don't allow any other thought that thinks any other thing, because that is true. And that affects my emotions. I have peace. I have peace because I trust the Lord and I choose to think upon the truth of God's word. If I were to allow self-destructive thoughts, I would be a basket case. I couldn't be preaching here today. But by God's grace, I'm victorious. But it has to do with our thought life. So God wants us to be disciplined. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Again, no matter what happens, you can say, Lord, I know this is your plan. This is good. This is okay. And then it says, be constant in prayer. And you know what God wants you to fill your mind with? Look at this. I love this verse. We've seen it several times over the years I've been here. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Your mind is to be on the good, the wholesome, the uplifting and edifying. But folks, when you get into this problem of self-defeating thoughts, here's what you read it like this. You read it as if it said, find your brothers, whatever is a lie, dishonorable, unjust, impure, unlovely, not commendable, no excellence, nothing worthy of praise. I meditate on these things. I love it. And how do you want to be? How do you want to turn out, right? God is saying, fill your mind with excellent things. Watch your self-talk. Think of a young man who went to the gym. He thought he was very skinny. He thought he was embarrassingly skinny. And of course, he wanted to, you know, young guys, you know, he wanted to build up some muscle, and but he just was a little, you know, and he was hoping the wind wouldn't blow that day so he could get to the gym. But he got there, and he was so embarrassed because, maybe that's him. No, I don't think he's here. Yeah. He was so embarrassed because he saw these buff guys, big muscles. You know, oh, Richard, would you stand up? No. No. And he was thinking, these guys are saying, here comes Toothpick Tommy. He was thinking about this thing all the time. Who cares what people think? Do they care about you? No, they don't. Do you care about them? Probably not either, right? I mean, we're all just into ourselves. I mean, so anyway, he had to learn to say, it doesn't matter, God, I want to have a better body for your glory, so I'm not going to be thinking about my despicable, negative, self-destructive thoughts. So I would hope that this new year, dear people, we could experience self-control. Again, thought by thought. Taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, right? Every thought. Guard your mind. Watch what you think every moment. Remember that the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us self-control. This is a divine, miraculous thing, but you have the Holy Spirit. If you have Jesus Christ, you can experience self-control. So I would long to talk with you at the end of the year and find out that you have been very much growing in your awareness of self-destructive thinking. Say no to that and say yes to godly thinking. You can't be any more victorious than your thoughts. There's no secret. You know, sometimes we're looking for some experience, and God can give experiences. But normally, what God wants is you to grow in this regard. And you're not going to be any more victorious than you are a person who thinks in a correct way, godly way. Is that clear? No? I'll start again. We said at the beginning. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I could go on here. This is one of my favorite topics. Not negative thoughts, but you understand what I mean, right? And I just hope that this really sinks into your hearts, because this could make the new year easy. You could probably make it till February with your resolutions, folks. Right? Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that these simple thoughts, but important thoughts, would become something real to each and every one of us. Lord, what a privilege to have the assurance that we will grow, that we can overcome wrong thinking. And as we think correctly, even our emotions will be affected, and we will be motivated to live for you as never before. We praise you, Lord, for this. Oh, blessed be your name, good Savior. You love us so much that you give us the way out of our problems. You give us the way forward, the way upward. And so we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.